Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Our unique relationship with God. And you know, it's so ironic and not a coincidence that our dear sister from India was here this morning, because there in her country, as I mentioned, they don't have a personal relationship with the 365 million gods. Matter of fact, some of them are made of stone and rock and pictures. And when you talk to them, they don't talk back. And so our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks to us. Can I get amen? He leads us and guides us. And in the time that we live in, this is the day that we need to truly hear his voice. Can I get amen? Listen, without hearing God and knowing God, it is a difficult journey in this life. And for me, I got saved at the age of 30. But prior to that, it was a very difficult life because I did the opposite of what was right. And a lot of you know my testimony already, so I don't need to go through that. But I'm here to let you know that if we take heed to the Word of God, to the power of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, he will not only enrich us, bring great joy, he would strengthen us, but the one key word, he will do something that the world cannot do, is sanctify us. Set us apart. That we would learn the things of God, that we would learn to be obedient. And it doesn't come naturally. It has to be done supernaturally. Right. Hallelujah. We cannot do it in our own strength. Can I get amen? Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to read verses 5 through 6. And then we're going to have God have his way with us this morning. Amen? And so here we go. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I want you to remember that, holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So as we see in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, there was instructions given to Moses by God himself. But as we read the Old Testament, very few had that true connection, that true relationship with God. Matter of fact, it is said that he would come upon them to do his will, and then he would be there for only that certain time. In the New Testament, the Bible says, now he lives within us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're born from above, now you have the Holy Spirit of promise living in you. Amen. Hallelujah. And he has written his laws on our heart. Yes. By faith. And so one of the things we have to know is this. We need to know the truth about God. He's real. How many believe he's real? Oh, come on. He's real. He was real to our sister. He pulled her out of that water. No one else did. Hallelujah. It wasn't the stone God that was mixed in with the 365 million. So, God desires close relationship with people of faith. And I truly believe we're here because we have faith to believe that when we come to service, we are believing to hear from God. Can I get amen? Amen. We have to believe that. We're not here religiously. We're here to have intimacy with him. Can I get amen? Amen. The worship was incredible this morning. Yes. And that's what breaks up the fallow ground. You see, throughout the whole week, we go through trials and tribulations. We go through so many things that hinder our walk with God. But God is saying, take heed. Spend that time with me. And I will bring that peace that surpasses all understanding. Can I get amen? So we're going to look at some principles this morning. Number one, faith is the requirement for close relationship with God. Faith. We need to believe that what is written in the Word of God, it's forever settled in heaven. So what is written, we have to believe God. We read Proverbs 31 earlier, right? About a virtuous wife. There are true virtuous women in the day that we live in. I can attest to that. My wife, who I've been married to 25 years, she's a virtuous wife. And I honor her. I love her. I serve her every day of my life so far. And nothing tells me I'm going to quit. Because God had instilled that virtue in her, which I'm in awe of. I'm in awe of her. Because it's what God has done. And so we have to believe. How many of you have prayed to God and say, oh God, I need this, or I desire that, oh God, I petitioned you, I submitted my supplications, oh God, I have sought your face, and yet nothing has changed. The only one aspect that could hinder whatever you're asking is found in the book of Hebrews. One element. And this is why we have to believe everything of God. Can I get amen? Amen? So let's look at this in Hebrews. Look at this. Hebrews 11, 4 through 7. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, okay? Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. Listen, he died what? Almost 5,000 years ago, and yet his testimony still speaks. Let's look at this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My question this morning, does your life please God? Are you pleasing God? Or is there a secretness about you that only you and God knows about? Here's the key. Number six, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. This is what Jesus has done on the cross now. He has condemned sin. Our sin is now on the cross. Can I get amen? Amen. He took the punishment for us. So we have to believe in faith that we are now children of the Most High God. We've been born from above. We have a new nature now. We have an empowerment, an anointing. We have the gifts. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. And one of them is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, prophesying. And so, saints, this verse emphasizes the requirement of faith in order to please God. We must have faith. If you don't have faith to believe, if you're doubting, you're going to be tossed to and fro. We have to believe. One must, at the very least, believe that God exists in order to please him. You got to believe he's alive. Hallelujah. 30 years ago, 32 now, Brother Felipe laid hands on me, and the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Ghost came, it was over. The war was over. I was no longer at war with God. I was at peace with him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the same scripture indicates God rewards those who what? Who put diligence in their efforts on seeking him. When's the last time you were before God? Just you and him. Just sprawled out, maybe on your bed or your bedpost, wherever. And you were crying out. You've already sought counsel. You already spoke to family, friends, and those in leadership. And yet nothing has yet moved. But have you gone to him in your own private time to spend time with him? You see, my friends, action is required to obtain the reward. Faith is active, and faith demonstrates. It demonstrates. Faith is action lived out in positive and trusting obedience from the heart, energized by both the spirit of man and the spirit of God together. And when you put the spirit of man and the spirit of God together, watch out. That becomes so very powerful. Why? Because God encompasses our spirit now. And now we trust him by him living in us. Faith brings us into relationship with God and solidifies that relationship with him. It's through faith. Look at this. Here is the opposite of faith. There is a component on this planet that opposes your faith and my faith. And we must recognize it right away. And it's found in the Word of God. Look at this in James 1. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. That is the enemy. Doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. As soon as you find yourself in that mode, well, I don't know. Well, I know God can do all things, but I don't know about this situation. Guess what? You're defeated already. You're defeated already. Look at this. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God said that. I'm glad God said it and not me. So leave the tomatoes in the bag down there. Don't throw them at me. And so our second point is this. The people of Israel were weak in faith. They were very weak. And I get it now, because when I look back and I look at their lives, they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost like us. So they had the CCNRs of the day. So if you ever bought a townhome, you get a stack of CCNRs about this high. Covenants, conditions, and restrictions. So they were told what to eat, what to wear, what to drink, all these things, what to do. And the Bible says if they broke just one of the laws of Moses, guess what? They broke them all. So they were always stumbling in their faith because they didn't have that true relationship with God. Moses did. Praise God. And several others when you read the Old Testament. And so, saints, the people of Israel demonstrated an immature and weak faith. No sooner had they finished rejoicing over the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea and the decimation of Pharaoh's army that the congregation began murmuring and complaining against Moses. Listen, they were in bondage for 400 years. Moses comes and frees them, and now God God, through the power of the Spirit of God using Moses, is leading them through the desert to be free from the tyranny of Pharaoh. But they didn't see that. All they were complaining, man, where's my Egg McMuffin? Yeah. Where's my oatmeal? Where's my bags and bacon? Come on. Did you bring us out here to die? And yet, God was still taking care of them in the desert. Did you know that God still takes care of you through your trial? Did you know that He still operates even in your disobedience? Oh, that's right. And He'll allow things to crash and burn so that you can look up to Him and say, oh God, I failed this one. You know, we want someone else to own our troubles, but God is saying, own it first. Look inwardly and say, oh God, how did this happen? Look at this right here. I'm going to read this in Exodus 16. Look at this. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. So now they're free from bondage. They were beaten. They had no day off to build mortar and bricks for Pharaoh's giant statues and his buildings he wanted them to build. Look at this. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Man, just imagine if you were incarcerated for 30 years in prison. And the governor says, I'm going to pardon you this day. You're a free person. And then you go back out in the world and you just murmur and complain. Here's what the children of Israel saw in their natural eye. They had food when they were in bondage. They had a place to sleep while they were in bondage. All these things, all these harsh benefits was given to them, and it was only so that they can exist to live, just to keep them alive. They never knew what true freedom was. And yet, we find in this story now, is that they've been freed, and now they're murmuring and complaining against the man of God that brought them out of this hideous place. Pharaoh is a type of Satan, the Bible says. And he is a taskmaster. And before I got saved, he was my taskmaster. And I was enslaved to sin and degradation. Yet when Jesus came, hallelujah, and he came to save me, the difference between those people back in the days of Exodus and my life today is that the King of Glory came to live inside me. And now every day, he's in me. Hallelujah. He's in you. And he has empowered us. Why did he have to do this? Because as you can read down below, it is finished. The work on the cross, he finished it. Hallelujah. He finished the work on the cross. And so now we can have true freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at these guys here. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the posts of meat. Look at the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to be full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. That was such a lie. God sent them quail. God gave them manna from heaven. And yet, that wasn't enough for them. See, they couldn't see what God had intended for them. This is why when you're in your trial, when you're in the situation that God has allowed you to experience, because we don't see the end game, a lot of us want to throw in the towel. Oh, I want to take that prayer back because I don't see you working. We do that no differently than them. Saints, the Lord chose to be merciful. He sent quail to cover the camp in the evening and introduce them to manna each morning. Some gathered quantities beyond what was authorized, and the only reason why they gathered more than enough is because they didn't trust God that God was going to send them again tomorrow morning. And that's why it got stale. It got spoiled right away. But that was a sign that they didn't still trust God. Gathering more than a daily allotment for any other than Sabbath day, it demonstrated continued unbelief after a significant, miraculous provision that God did. Listen, he had clouds to cover them in the day. And then he had a pillar of fire to warm them in the desert at night. And yet, they didn't see past that. They couldn't see anything else. My goodness, I need to ask this question. Hasn't God been good to each and every one of us? Yes. Through our affliction, yes. Through our trials, yes. Through sometimes harsh relationships. Yes. I tell you, one of the toughest things of life is relationships. Yes. They get all mangled up somehow. They do. And then we want to blame, it was you. But then as you say, it was you, there's three pointing right back at you. You have to say, it was me too. And so saints, that type of unbelief stinks in the nostrils of God. Look how good he's been. The people of Israel continue to demonstrate their immaturity and weak faith by complaining to Moses, the man of God that delivered them. And so look at this. Look how this unfolds in chapter 17 of Exodus. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me?" I mean, Moses was like up here with it. Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" I have to ask this question. Did God let them die out there? Saints, the Lord demonstrated great patience in developing Israel's capabilities that they would learn to trust the Lord. They were a stiff-necked people, the Bible says. Stiff-necked. And they didn't get it. You ever heard that? I think that's where this came from back then. Hard-headed. Or knucklehead. Remember those terms? Okay, that's what my dad used to call me. I remember them. Look at this, number three. To have faith is to trust God regardless of life's circumstances. Can I get an amen? Did you know that God's going to see you through? He's the great I am. He's the one that heals our disease. How many times have you been afflicted? Is it, "Oh, I think I'm going to die now"? And then God comes. He goes beyond the medicine. He touches our innermost being. Amen. So saints, life is full of unanswered questions. I get that. You get it. And there are very many uncertainties of life. We can choose to fill the unanswered questions and uncertainty with beliefs conducive to biblical faith, or we can choose to fill the blanks in that are yet unanswered with fear and anxiety. And we find that easier than to trust God. We walk around with fear, anxiety. My goodness. And then the expectations become even worse. It is all a matter of choice. God is, aren't you so blessed that God has given us? He didn't make us like robots. He gave us choice to believe God or not to believe him. Here's a great story in the New Testament where Jesus raised the dead. He healed the blind. He fed 5,000 twice on a hill with loaves of fish and bread. A lot of times God says, just bring what you have and let me multiply it. So he used the boy's sack lunch. He only had a couple of loaves and fish, and he multiplied it and fed 5,000 plus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised a little girl that died from the dead. Hallelujah. And for us who were afflicted from COVID this past year or so, he raised us up from the dead. I know I was dying. Preacher, how many times did you pray for me? I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. I said, oh God, is this the way you're going to take me out? But God came through. See, God had to bring to my remembrance that if he saved my bacon back then, he will save it today. Why? Hallelujah. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says God changes not. He is the great I am. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the bishop and lover of our souls. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yet we find ourselves all the time struggling for answers of life. When God said, I'm right here, I didn't leave. I'm with you. Can you trust me? Can you believe that I'm with you? That nothing's gonna thwart the plan of God for your life. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this story right here. In Mark 4, 35 through 41, look at this. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus dealing with his apostles, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Okay. So they were doing ministry, and they said, let's go now to the other side. And we all know that on the other side, there was more issues that arose. But let's look at this story on what developed as they were crossing over the Sea of Galilee. How many of you been to the Sea of Galilee? We were there. Was it 3 years ago? 3 years ago, and we actually saw a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And now I understand this. It's a real place. Everything that is in the Bible, when you get to Israel, everything is still there. The mountains are still there. The old temple is still there. All the places that God talks about is still there. The Sea of Galilee, all it is a giant freshwater lake. Huge. Preacher, were you there when we went swimming in it? Our former pastor played a trick on all of us. Yes, Pastor Leo asked Pastor John, "Hey, I want you to say, hey, I can walk on water. And as soon as you go in the water, I'll come in and save you." So John got all of her attention. "Hey, watch me walk on water." So he stepped off the boat, and then he went into the water, and he was like pretending he was drowning. And Pastor Leo goes, "I'll save you, John." And he took off his pants. He had shorts underneath, and he went in. All of us took off our stuff and went into the water. And it was a blast. And little did I know, in the Sea of Galilee, because we went to a beautiful restaurant that evening called Dex, D-E-C-K-S. And in the front of it, there's this huge, giant billboard in front of the restaurant. And it has all the types of fish that are in the water. From little ones like this. And then there was some that was as long as where I'm standing to where that photo is. And I said, "That was in the water? I'm never going in there again." So all these boats were following the one boat. Look at this. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow." So Jesus, well, he was catching disease, because he knew he had work to do when he got to the other side. So he was chilling. Look at this. "And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" This storm, we saw how the storm would go. Oh my gosh. I've been there so many times. By the grace of God, I've been there 17 times to Israel. And I've never seen the Sea of Galilee. Whoo, whoo. I go, nothing can survive that. It was like a washer machine. And then it was calm within 2 minutes. The storm went by and it was calm. It's like the birds chirping. Was there a storm here? Look at this. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Hallelujah. Some of you today need God to say, "Peace, be still," to your situation right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to believe God. Some of you are going through some really tough situations of life. And you think that there's no way out. How can God do this? How can God come through? Easy. He will say, "Peace, be still." He don't need to grab you by the neck in the name of Jesus. "Peace, be still." Look at this. "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? There was a great calm. But look what it says here. Look at this in verse 40. "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" There it is. You have to believe. You have to believe what God said he would do in our life. And listen, let me just say this. What he has in store for us is good. Amen. And never evil. Can I get amen? Amen. That's right. He doesn't send 20 brothers to your house and beat you up. Can you get it right? No. He allows our lives to go through certain situations so that we can learn something. Can I get amen? Amen? "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. We can trust God at all times. Say that with me. We can trust God at all times. Saints, we can trust God with our hearts and with our most intimate needs. This is why when we ask those to come up in prayer, We don't need to know what they are. God knows what they are. We're just going to say, God, meet that need right now. That's right. Because he knows. None of us need to know what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. You just come in faith. I believe God for what I'm going through right now. God, comfort me. Help me. Help me through these times. Hallelujah. Jesus already satisfied God's wrath on Calvary. So if he satisfied and said, it is finished, why are we worried? Why can't we believe whatever we're going through that God cannot see us through it? But see, we're the now generation. We want it right now. I use this illustration a lot. But most of us would rather throw a bag of popcorn in the microwave so that in about a minute it's done. Let it cool off and you'll be chewing on tire, a rubber tire. But if you take time, get a pot with some butter or oil. I use olive oil and put the kernels in and just slowly, just wait for the first pop. Then pop, 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 pop. That popcorn will be fresh all night. But you have to spend a little time. Can I get an amen? No, but we want a Burger King life. We want having it our way right now. We don't want to wait on God to see the end game. You see, my friends, right here in the Word of God, look at this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who's that great high priest? Jesus, who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession now. Now we must confess that he is good, that he is great, that he is awesome, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. We got to believe that he can deliver me right now, that he can deliver me tomorrow, he can deliver me next week. Listen, there is no time frame with God. Can I get amen? We must hold fast our confession that Jesus is good. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You know why he can sympathize with us? Because he went to the cross and took it all for us. He took the scourging. He took the whipping. Hallelujah. He took the beatings for us. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He took it all on the cross. So now he can understand what you and I are going through. Hallelujah. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Did you know he was up there taking the world's sin upon him, and he opened not his mouth? You know, he could have said, okay, I'm done, and sent one legion of angels to wipe them all out. You know, the big boys with the flaming swords? No, he didn't. He took it on for us so that he can show us a better way, that he can show us that we can endure whatever we're going through without murmuring and complaining. Can I get an amen? Amen. That I'm going to trust God with all my heart. Thank you, God. Look at this. But in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore, come on, this is the key. This is how you enter into that relationship with him, through the power of the Holy Spirit being born from above. Let us therefore now come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Sister Jay, floating, sinking to the bottom of that ocean. But she said Jesus before she dipped in. That was like a baptism. In Jesus' name, bam. He was in the water. And he pulled her up. He pulled her up. Hallelujah, he pulled you up. If he had not done that, you wouldn't be here today testifying how good he is. And now all those 365 million gods, you can crush them under your feet like this. I'm done with them. They did nothing for me. It was Jesus. Hallelujah. All by himself. Hey, hallelujah. Take time out right now and give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hey, Sarabaso Tarabasi Tarabasa. Hikarabasa Tarabasia. Hey. Tell him how much he's been good to you. Hallelujah. Even in the times of adversity. Hallelujah. You've been so good to us, God. You've been so good to us, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your mercy. But yet you chose to save us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, katarabasia rabasa. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Hallelujah, is he worthy? Jesus is worthy. Oh, hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hey, listen, I'm going to close this just in a moment. But look at this, saints of God. When you're truly born of God, this takes place in the life of a believer. It's right here found in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Look at this. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my hand, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. As I shared last week, we have an advocate. We have an attorney fighting for us. Can I get amen? And he points to the cross and he tells his Father, I shed my blood for them. Hallelujah. So let me just say this. No matter what we find ourselves in, we can always cry out to God and say, God, I made a mess of this, God. And learn to own it. Can I get amen? Learn to own it. Just learn to own it. Sometimes it was me that did it. And we want to say, no, it was you. But once you own it, then now you can pray effectively. Okay, God, you're healing my heart through this, but now I'm praying for the other party involved. And let me just say this. And this is key. A lot of times, we want God to fix broken relationships. I get that. But this is how you effectively pray. Don't pray selfishly. Pray that God would truly save them. Because why would you want that person to return unsaved? To do it all over again. Right? So pray. Say, oh God, save that person. Because when you deliver that person back, I know it's from you, God. Hallelujah. And things will change 190 degrees or 360. And you'll know it's God. Why? Because now, hallelujah, Brother Felipe knows this testimony. I'm going to share it real quick. I'm going to close with this. I have more, but I want to share this testimony and then we'll close. You remember Jose Lopez? I worked at Western Lumber for about 15 years. And the person worked with me, his name was Jose Lopez. And this is before I got saved. And me and him, we used to go party and we used to go out to the clubs, did all that. Then I got saved. And I would share Jesus with them. And, oh, that's good for you. Fee, that's good for you. And one day, he didn't show up for work. I needed him. He was a fast worker. And I had orders. I worked at a lumber yard and a truss yard, so I had to really produce these trusses. So the people, they would come and help me. They weren't as fast as him, and I knew that. So a week went by. No Jose. 2 weeks went by. No Jose. I go, he can't be gone for 3 because we don't get 3 weeks of vacation. We only get 2 in the lumberyard. So I went to the office to talk to the yard officer there, Frank Lococo. I go, Frank, where's Jose, man? I miss him out here. He goes, Fee, I don't have good news. I go, what's going on? He goes, his wife Rita just called. And they found stomach cancer. And he's in the hospital on Scripps across the street from the mall in Chula Vista. I said, okay, thank you. So right away, I ran and looked for Sal Corona. Sal Corona was a brother that I led to the Lord. And him and I, we would have just commune time at lunchtime. I go, Sal, we need to go pray for Jose. He goes, what's going on? He goes, he's got cancer. And so 4 o'clock came, we punched out. He got in my car, and we were praying in the Holy Ghost all the way to the hospital. And I remember before we walked into the doors, the Spirit of God came upon him and both of us. Man, and you know, if when God comes upon you in a unique way, you know he's there with you and in you. His presence was like, you know, the corners of my mouth were like pinned to my ears, and I knew he was with us. And so we walked into his bedroom, in his hospital room, and he was hooked up to all the monitors. And from where we stood at the front of the door, as we got closer, he didn't look like my friend anymore. We called him, we called each other compa. So I went on to his right side, and Sal went on to his left. And I looked at him, and he had this tube down his mouth and all kinds of gadgets and monitors on him. And he was like 220 pounds before he showed up missing. And he was down to about 140. And his life was slipping away. And so I said, compa, we came to pray for you. You know, and he had that thing in his mouth. I go, I need to pull this out. So I pulled that thing out. I need to talk to him. I pulled it out. He looked at me, he goes, compa. He goes, I'm dying. And I said, no. God sent us here. You're going to live. I go, but compa, it's time to receive Jesus. You remember how we used to roll. You saw God change my life. And he changed Saul. Saul is here. And he looked, he goes, hey, Saul. I said, compa, ask Jesus to come into your life right now. So I go, can we pray for you? He goes, yes, compa, pray for me. So we anointed him with oil. We laid hands. And he repeated the sinner's prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe you died for me. I believe the blood you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And we did just what the book says to do. By faith, we came. And tears were rolling down his eyes. Now, I didn't know what was going on at that time other than he was emotionally touched. And I go, compa, we're going to pray for healing now. Man, the glory to God thing. In the name of Jesus, we bind and rebuke and we curse cancer right now. We were praying everything that we could think of to come against that was taking him out. And when we were done, we hugged him and we said, we're praying for you. And I had to put that thing back into his mouth. Oh, You don't want me by your bedside, okay? So me and Sal, we said our goodbyes, and we were hugging each other. The power of God was so all over us. He was in that room everywhere. This is the report that we got. After about an hour after we left, the doctor and his wife, Rita, came into the room and said, okay, we set the surgery for tomorrow morning. It's going to be about 5 in the morning, but we need to x-ray you to make sure where we're going to make the incision. So they took him down, and they took 5 shots. Clack, 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 clack. They popped him up. All retake. They shot at a different angle. Another 5. Clack, clack, clack. We've got to retake this again. They took 15 photos, and they put them against the ones that they took when he entered into the hospital, and there was no mass there. There was no mass there. And the doctor told his wife, we can't operate on him. There's nothing there. Hallelujah. So the next 30 days, they still kept him there. And he went from drinking fluid to Gerber's baby food and then solid food. And they said, this is a medical miracle. They sent him home. It only gets better. The story didn't end there. So he goes home. And it was back then, and it was probably, what, 89, 90, 91? The year, there was no ID caller. No texting, no none of that, right? So it was about 9 o'clock at night. I was renting a 2-car garage. I think Brother Felipe remembers that 2-car garage in Paradise Hills. Oh, yeah. Those were my humble beginnings. And the phone rang. Who's calling me at this hour? You know, I'm ready to go to bed. I picked it up. And you ever watched Peanuts, Charlie Brown? And when someone's on the phone, they're like, wah, 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 wah. I said, hello, who's this? This is Rita. Oh, Rita, Jose's Rita. Well, what can I do for you, Rita? Why, how dare you? You took my husband to your church and you got him baptized. Don't you know we're Catholic? You see, after 40 days, Jose came back to work with his lunch pail. And I said, compa, you ever saw that commercial where two people are running to each other and you go, and I said, he goes, this is what he said to me. Fee, I need to know more about Jesus. So I was attending North Park Apostolic Church at the time. And I called one of the elders. Because I go, compa, you need to be baptized now. He goes, right now? I go, yeah, right now. We'll baptize you anytime. And so I called up, I think it was one of the deacons. Oh, yeah, just bring them here. 6 o'clock, we'll be there. Came, he got baptized in water, came out, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost coming out of the water. So he goes home now, and he's at home, and then he's there for several days. And that's when I got the call. It was Rita. And there are words I cannot use up here, okay? But she was throwing the book at me. And she was so furious that we took them to my church to get them baptized and cursing me out and how dare you? Well, why didn't you consult with me first and blah, 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 blah. It was like, blah, 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 blah. And I hung up. The next day, me and compa were in the nail shed. I go, compa, I'm so sorry. He goes, it's Rita, she's very religious. And I go, we'll pray for her. We'll pray for her. So 30 days go by. I'm always asking, hey, how's Rita? Oh, okay. It was 9 o'clock at night. The phone rings. Do I pick it up or do I not pick it up? The last 9 o'clock call I got, it was horrific. I picked it up. Hello? Fee, don't hang up. It's Rita. No, it's Rita. Yes, Rita. She goes, I called to apologize to you. I am so sorry that my language and my attitude offended you. But in the last 30 days, the husband I have now today wasn't the man that I married. In the last 30 days, he washes the dishes. He takes out the trash. He tells me how much he loves me. And he spends time with our children. This is the husband I always wanted. And then she said this, whatever he has, I want it. I go, Rita, come to our Friday night service and come and get baptized. Give your heart to Jesus. So that Friday night came, and Friday night was testimonial service. You either sang a song or you testified. You couldn't do both. So, you can't do both. You can do one. So, North Park had a really little parking lot. It was very limited. And they went around the block several times. They're about to leave, and somebody was pulling out, and they pulled right in. They came in. They were right behind me, and then they said, if you have a testimony or a song, stand up. Rita was in the back because I greeted them, and she was like, standing up. So one of the deacons who was doing the service that night was calling on people, testify, sing, whatever, and she was the last one. And they go, you, sister in the back, state your name and what do you want to testify? She goes, my name is Rita Lopez. I'm here with my husband, Jose Lopez, and Brother Fee invited me, and I'm here to get what he has. He keeps talking about this Holy Ghost, and I want that. And the whole church, man, the organ started playing. Blah, 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 blah. Man, it was like people were ready to run the pews. And so when Bishop Trout, I'm talking Father Trout, this is Bishop's father. You all know who Joel Trout is, his father, Raymond Trout, gave an altar call. She beelined. I know one beat her to the altar. And she gave her heart to Christ. They took her up to the baptismal room. And as she was stepping down the steps, before she even touched the water, the Holy Ghost fell on her. And they are still serving the Lord today. Hallelujah. This is the miracle that God will do so that he can show you and let you know that I'm able to restore. I'm able to heal. I'm able to make those broken things in your life come together again. None of you have to remain Humpty Dumpties that sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put them together again. But I'm here to let you know God can. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let us stand to our feet. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Brother, there's a CD back there if you want to play it. I'm going to ask Brother Felipe to come up right down here. And we want to pray for whatever you're going through right now. I believe God allowed this testimony, several testimonies, and even this beautiful purity service. Amen. To give you hope. That God's able to do way beyond you're able to do with your own strength. Because in our own strength, you got to remember where we come from. We come from dust. We come from the dirt. And so, God is here for you right now. And allow the preacher, he laid hands on me 32 years ago. I've never been the same in a good way. God's able. And so, brother, are we got that? There's a CD down there. It might be inside the CD, but yes. It's called Search Me, Know Me. Okay. So I'm going to ask you guys to come up. I'm going to help him out real quick. And before that, I'm still on Facebook and YouTube. I want to thank and praise God for you joining us today. And if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ right now, I'm going to ask right now that you would bow your heart and your head and that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sins. Come into my life. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We gave you the